Welcome to The Craft Life. In every episode, we'll dive deep into the rabbit hole of all things branding and marketing within the craft beer industry. Be prepared to be injected with tips, processes, and ideologies from those in the industry that are executing in a unique and creative fashion. If you're looking for ways to cut through all that noise and find or redefine your craft by creating long-lasting impressions, memorable experiences, all while having consistency in your attitude, belief, and values, then The Craft Life is a good fit for your life. Let's get crafting.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 14 of The Craft Life. Today's episode is sponsored by my good friend here at Tarpon River Brewing. Tarpon River Brewing is located in the heart of Fort Lauderdale. And today, we got to kick it in the merch room, drink some pretty cool beers. Violet Hearts we have over here. And for all you that are listening, I'm actually sitting here live in Tarpon's Brewing's merch room. I get to chat it up with our guest, who I'll be introducing to you guys very soon. So I am super excited about this episode. In previous episode, you know, we chatted about a bunch of different topics with different brewery owners, home brewers, brewers. But what we haven't covered is what helps foster South Florida's locals to get more connected and learn more about local breweries, as well as up and coming home brewers. And for me, I truly believe having craft beer events that are openly centric, that can grab other people's attention, is super important. And today I'm talking to someone who's been the backbone for how many years?
6 years.
For 6 years, yes. In our South Florida location doing this and helping home brewers, breweries get, you know, get attention, get known. We'll talk more about that. So today I'm actually sitting here with the main person. One of the most popular, and as far as I've seen on social media and everywhere, one of the most popular beer event planners and organizers, Stuart from SFL Hops. So SFL Hops is the leading planner of beer festivals, happy hours, brawl crawls, homebrew competitions here in Broward County. And if you know, that's how like I found Stuart, is through a homebrew competition over here at Tarpon and the last one over at Gulfstream. So man, you've been doing good moves. SFL Hops has a current event that's taking place here at Tarpon River on March 13th. And that actual event was featured on South Florida's most popular entertainment news, at least for me, on Channel 7, Deco Drive, which features trendy restaurants, events, and businesses right here in South Florida.
No fake news there.
No fake news. Definitely not. But we'll get into that event in this episode in a little bit. So I just want to say big ups to you for everything you've been doing for the past 6 years, for the industry, for homebrewers, for breweries alike. Yeah, man, thank you. And without further ado, let's welcome Stuart to The Craft Life. And thanks for kicking it with us, my man.
Thank you so much. Wow, this is that was a great intro there. That's like my, I don't even need to go to therapy this week. You're stroking my ego and everything. I appreciate it. Thank you. And yeah, thank you for having me.
No, but all the respect, man. Like my first homebrew competition was with SFL Hops. And as far as like going through brewing school with Master Brewing Academy and then jumping into SFL Hops really opened up doors for me. At least a lot of people heard about, you know, Craft Life, and I have Untapped that was self-created from this yes. beer event. So thank you
yeah,
so much.
Yeah, God forbid you do an event and you're not on Untapped first. It's like you're not even there.
I know, right? So thank you so much for that. So let's dive in, man. Let's chat about you, man. First, tell everybody who you are and what you do full time.
I've been a teacher, elementary school teacher, for this is my 24th year. Each year it gets harder and harder to say that number, but 24 years, and currently I'm teaching third grade gifted, so that is my day job.
Hey man, so, big ups to the teachers, man.
Thank you.
This past year has been a hard year on you guys, and
crazy.
Teaching elementary must be one of those difficult tasks, especially with the virtual learning. Yesterday I did the Reading Across America, and it's so weird to see kids virtually. Teachers have to teach both virtually right. and in person, and the ability to do so and have these kids actually move forward and progress is awesome. So big ups to all our teachers.
Thank you
for sure.
It's quite a workout going from the computer to the kids' desks and back and forth.
I can only imagine. So how long you've been teaching? You've been teaching for 22 years?
Yeah, so this is my 24th year, teaching,
okay.
And I've always taught third and fourth grade. And currently, I'm doing third grade gifted. And yeah, I've got a master's in curriculum and instruction. So I really enjoy that aspect. And as difficult as this pandemic year has been to adjust everything, I still enjoy the planning aspect of education.
Oh, for sure, man, for sure. So, man, how did you enter the beer scene? Or the craft beer scene, I should say.
So I guess we're going back even before the SFL Hops times with this. And I think everybody has those embarrassing stories of the start, right? I mean, we all started somewhere.
For sure.
You know, and drinking things that were not proud to admit that we were drinking back in the day. But I mean, I think when it comes to craft beer, and it's funny to call this craft beer now, but I remember I used to be out and go to Vegas probably a dozen years ago, and it was now it's killing me. I can't remember. Fat Tire beers. Sure. And that was like that first time that I was seeing some kind of beer that I hadn't heard of before. And every time I was out west, I had to get my hands on those. That was, you know, back in the day before it was out here. So when I came back, I think maybe my next progression was things like Total Wine. Go through their little seasonal section and specials, mm-hmm. releases. And, you know, you're educating yourself, but you're educating yourself by drinking, which is always a good thing. And I would say probably Funky Buddha was my biggest thrust into the scene down here of getting myself personally into craft beer. When they opened, I was there all the time. And I think the fact that they were Funky Buddha, all those different types of styles and beers, is what really opened me up to what the possibilities were in the craft beer scene.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So it leads into the question of how did you start SFL Hops?
So yeah, I guess if you continue forward with that timeline, so then, you know, I'm wanting to go out and drink some more beers and go to breweries. But the problem was I didn't really have anybody to go with. All my guy friends were on lockdown, all married, kids, and they can't leave the house. And then my female friends as a teacher, you know, they want to just go and drink wine.
For sure.
Or Coors Light. Yeah, so basically I was just looking for people to drink craft beers with and try new places. And so I needed to go beyond the people I knew.
So basically you wanted to create a community of people who enjoyed this.
Right. I don't even know if it started as creating a community, as I never even had that big of a vision. It was more, I'd like to find 10 like-minded people who want to go drink beers and check out places. And then, yeah, just from there is where it snowballed and got bigger and bigger to what it is now.
Oh, very cool, man. Very cool. So SFL Hops, man, like, you've been on the map for 6 years. For everyone who doesn't know, what are the benefits for local breweries and other venues to basically want to host these kind of craft beer events?
It's funny because we were just talking the other day with the boss lady, Lisa Siegel, here at Tarpon River. But, you know, what she was even saying yesterday is, you know, she appreciates that when she knows I'm doing an event, she doesn't really have to worry about anything. So it kind of takes away the thought process, the planning, everything that goes into the event. So, you know, sometimes I like to look at myself as a free agent for events at breweries and beer bars. And I've always kind of prided myself on coming to these different venues, pitching an idea, and then not causing the brewery any stress or planning, where I can just say, here's what I want to do, and then I'll do the promotion, I'll do everything, and bring the people, and that's that.
For sure.
So I've always felt that that's kind of the big draw. It's been difficult with the pandemic because we have to call so many audibles and make so many changes. And as a result, it means I have to talk a lot more to the owners because I have to do right. I want to do right by them.
Absolutely.
But yeah, if it's not a pandemic year, pretty much the goal is that I've got an event. I'd like to do it at your place. And if they're into it, then that's great. I'm going to bring a lot of people for them and hopefully a good time too.
So it's basically like a partnership. And I think it's like beneficial for you know, breweries like this, for you to bring these different events, because number one, I think it's important that non-craft beer people are introduced to craft beer and the event that we're going to talk about in a little bit. And I want everyone to just listen so you can hear this event that we're going to talk about. That was featured on Deco Drive, by the way.
Ooh.
Big ups to you. But it brings people who aren't like familiar with craft beer to a craft beer environment to learn about the style of beers and how they go with different foods. And, you know, it's like kind of like a good introduction to craft beer. So
right.
It's really great. I also think it's great because it, like I said, it brings the businesses more people than they probably would have on that particular day. And that's great because, you know, once someone does whatever the activity is or whatever it is, they're going to want food or they're going to want more beer. So right. You're definitely bringing business to the business.
Right. And even before the pandemic, we pretty much were doing one brewery crawl once a month for 8 months.
Oh, wow.
And one of the biggest things I would always hear when people were there is saying, one of two things. They'd either say, wow, I've been wanting to come to this brewery for a while, so this was a great excuse. Or two, I've never even heard of this brewery before. And it's great to hear that because, you know, I that's kind of now what my focus is, you know, from what it was to what it is to really get people to know more about the craft beer scene and to support the local craft beer scene. So, you know, when people are saying, I never even knew about this place, and I see that they're having fun, and hopefully our events, people walk out with a positive experience and they're more likely to want to come back again, which only
is super huge.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. So I know there's a lot of people who probably think like you, like, I want to create this like little community, little thing. So what basically goes into creating your events? Like what process do you go through when you're creating your events?
How many hours on the podcast do we have? Wow. So it's changed a lot over the years. I mean, you know, we were talking earlier how when I first started the SFL Hops, it was all about just meeting up at bars and breweries and bottle shares. I would host a lot of bottle shares. I mean, I remember when Lincoln's Beard first opened, Falco was always so good to us. And we did an event at Lincoln's Beard before they even opened. We did we did a bottle share and we were doing consistent ones. And those are a lot easier to plan. I mean, you're basically just, all you got to do is put it out there. And I would put it out there through my sites and streams and so forth, but it's not really anything to plan. So something like that's pretty easy. But these days, you know, they're, you know, trying to do some larger events and a lot of planning goes into this.
So let's talk about like the craft carousel.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause they got a lot of moving pieces. You got homebrewers coming in, you know, creating their home brews. You also have vendors coming in.
Right.
And you also have the brewery that you're going to be at. So how does that all work and how did you master that? Because honestly, when I was here for those two past carousels, they were amazing.
Thank you.
It ran like a well-oiled machine. There was no confusion. I think as the home brewer, for me, I understood everything. I mean, the communication between you from there, when I got there, everything looked set up. Everything looked like it was, you know, I know you were going crazy a little bit,
yes. But
running around trying to make sure everything was good. But besides that, everyone seemed to enjoy themselves. The vendors seemed to enjoy themselves. One of the vendors got super drunk and he was talking. So
that's is it an event if a vendor doesn't get drunk?
For sure. But that means like the place is stress free. You know,
right.
They were enjoying, they actually got to enjoy the venue, not just, you know.
Right.
So
but yeah, I mean, I guess if you go back in the time machine on that, so I mean, as I was saying, when I started out, a lot of the events are just free events or bottle shares. So eventually the next progression is I wanted to do a festival. And of all things, I mean, we're under the Tarpon River roof here, but my first festival was over by the Riverside Market OG location.
Oh, yeah.
And we had it over at the Cartel.
Yep.
And that was my very first festival and my very first time doing a festival. I didn't know anything about it. I was learning as I went.
And a lot of greats came out of there, you know.
Yes.
Todd Space from Mass Brewing Academy.
Yes.
Scott Stebbs, he was there.
Yes.
I think Falco was there a couple of times. I'm not sure of that one, but I know a lot of people came, went and participated
yes.
in that.
Yeah. So I mean, it started with that and it went really well. I think we had mid-20s, 24, 25 breweries, which was, for me, great for my first go out. And so the year after, I figured, well, let's do a Broward and a Miami festival.
Oh, wow.
The Broward one kind of fell through the year after, so I put all my eggs into the Miami basket. And some of the failures of the Miami one is what ultimately brought me to the carousel. And not that there was a failure with the Miami one, but I was trying to raise money for an animal charity. We were raising money for a 501c3. And as I'm doing the festival down in Miami, I had to jump through endless hoops. And I ended up giving so much money, to the city for barricades, for a police presence, for fire, for sewage. And I ended up, so much money went to that really there was barely anything left to pay for the event and to donate.
Oh, wow.
So from there, my thinking was, well, how can we still do a festival without all of that? So
this one had to be huge then.
That was a huge one. It really was. Yeah, it was. I think we had probably 35, 37 breweries at that one.
So these were breweries, not home brewers. Oh, this is actual full out.
Yeah. So back at that time, I wasn't designating something specific for homebrewers.
Gotcha.
But homebrewers were still welcome to pour. They were just pouring alongside the breweries.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, and the Miami one was great. I mean, and it was massive. We had partnered up with Swarm at the time, and we gave them a giant area, and they set up their own beer games section, and it was great. But again, the problem was just too many applications, too much bureaucracy. Too much to do that, and too much work. I'm just one person doing all of this. So, you know, it took me a while to come up with what would be next. But ultimately, it was the craft carousel idea. So I thought, well, how can we still do it? So the carousel was basically, let's chop it into four small summer festivals. And to hold them at places where we don't necessarily need to go through the city or need to pull so many extra licenses. And then that just makes it a lot easier to focus on it.
Oh, for sure. So planning all these events, do you ever think about the non-craft beer drinkers and how they can get lured into these type of events?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, of course, someone who's into craft beer is going to tend more towards our events, and they're probably following us or the breweries. But you'll get a lot of times, like, I guess if you go back to when I said when I was first getting into things, and a lot of the my female friends, female teachers, you know, they would be, again, more of those wine drinkers. So, you know, I thought, well, how can we make it something for everybody? Maybe there's a couple where one is the beer drinker and one is the wine drinker. And so, you know, as you saw at our previous carousels, we had multiple wine vendors. Mm-hmm. We even had a fun one with some cocktails being made. And we had some alcoholic coffee by Drink New Ground, which was really great. So I think by bringing in a few more of those elements, it helps to have more people come. And then as they come, because maybe they're into the wine aspect, they're going to probably still try the beer. And who knows, maybe we turn them.
That's awesome. So with all this success in the 6 years that you've been doing this, obviously, you have a style of marketing that works and brings people into these businesses, because the past two events and the third event I'm going to be at have been super successful. There have been a lot of bodies here. I think it sold out, right?
Oh. Yes.
So what is your success? I know you probably don't want to give all your secrets out, but if somebody's trying to start, like, you know, marketing and start their own kind of bottle share program and stuff like that, like, what do you think is the secret sauce to marketing these type of craft beer events beyond being the brewery, but I'm talking about like individuals and stuff like that.
For the events themselves.
For the events themselves, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think a big part of it, for me, it was a slow process. So there's, I mean, to this day, I'm still, I look at a lot of other great events, a lot of great festivals, and they just seem to post their festival, and the next thing you know, they've got 3,000 people buying tickets, and we don't have that. We don't have that at all. Now, we do sell out our events, but we're a much smaller scale, when it comes to that. So, you know, it's still about building our base. I started everything actually with meetup.com. That's where I started.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And I'm still there. I'm still there today.
Is that successful still, Meetup?
It is, but I would say a large majority are not coming from Meetup anymore.
Okay.
So I started with Meetup, and it was great, and that's all I knew at the time. And I didn't want to just be stuck in one area, so I started to diversify myself and started the Estival Hops Facebook page. We have an Instagram page. We have an EstivalHops.com page. And so I felt like branching out more like that opens us up to a lot more people. And when we first started doing events, they were non-paid, non-ticket events. So of course, it's a lot easier to get people to come to those events.
The free 99, right?
Yeah, exactly. And we did a lot of bottle shares, a lot of happy hours, a lot of get-togethers. But you know, ultimately, then it's building the brand and building
that community,
right? And, and as people come and then they have fun, then the hope is that these are the people that will now come back for our ticketed events.
Oh, absolutely.
So yeah, it's all about branding it as many places as we can. I mean, I'm talking to the branding master right here. you should be educating us on this.
Well, what I got from this, and which is super important, and to drive it back, is community. Because you create that community base, and that community base multiplies because they're telling their friends and they're telling their friends.
Right.
So word of mouth and creating that community base, I think, was ideally what kind of streamlined this whole process. And I think right now, if you were doing an event and you did minimum social media, I think that your community that you created, especially with the Craftinators and all that, this your things would still be successful.
It's funny. Awesome. It's funny you say that because we've got the – well, I don't know if I could say the event that we have coming up yet, but we have to stay tuned.
We're almost there.
But this event to be named at a later date. I've felt kind of bad the last few weeks because I haven't been posting as much as I normally do for events. I mean, normally I'm an everyday poster, and I haven't really done that much. It's just been so busy with the day job. But it's funny. I mean, the last one sold out, and it did even better than selling out because we were even selling a bunch of tickets the day of because we had space.
Yeah.
And even the one that we have coming up,
it's almost there.
It's close. It's getting there. And so yeah, it's nice. It's nice that that's happening now. And you know, we'll never be that giant festival with thousands of people, but for what we're doing, we're not trying to do that at the moment. And so when we're doing these events at a brewery, there's only so many you could have anyway.
For sure.
So, I mean, and especially with the pandemic, again, there's only so many.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm happy with it. And yeah, we're lucky. We have a lot of loyal people who come to all of the events or drive far for the events. And it's great.
They're telling people about them, and that's mm-hmm. how it gets out there. So, yeah. And congratulations on creating that community.
Thank you. Thank you
and
so much.
Branding number 101 is creating that community.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Authentic community, not something that you're paying for or doing anything that's authentic. And it took you a long time to build that. And obviously, you have that great community. So,
definitely. Congratulations. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, man. So, the next question we're going to talk about, man, is we're going to tailor this back to the curated craft carousel. Sorry. A lot of C's in there. Why do you think it's important for homebrewers to enter local competitions just like the curated craft carousel?
Yeah, so our focus of the craft carousels is on homebrewers. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. Homebrewers are interesting because there's such a range when it comes to the homebrewers and even the ones that come to our events, because you've got homebrewers that are on the cusp of opening their own brewery. I mean, Dangerous Minds was at one of our events a year and a half ago, and they've got a brewery now. And
congratulations.
Descarga, I think Descarga is opening in 2037, right? I think they're going to open finally. But I mean, they've done events with us. And so, yeah, so you got home brewers that's their focus, and that's what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And you had other home brewers that maybe that wasn't their focus, but they're having great success, and maybe now that's their focus. And then you got the guys that are brewing out of their garage. We've had quite a few homebrewers that our event, Craft Carousel, was their first ever homebrew event. So
that was me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Right. So you've got all those different types of homebrewers. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of other more important events than mine when it comes to homebrewers, where you're winning awards and medals. I think there's a lot to brag about and to be proud of when it comes to that.
For sure.
At my events, we're not sanctioned or anything like that. We try to coordinate with the brewery. Maybe they'll provide where the winner can come in and brew with the brewery. Mm-hmm. to be able to do that. But at the end of the day, as I said earlier, some people come to these events and they say, "Oh, I never heard of this. I never knew about that." And so for a home brewer, that's got to be gold for them, because this is their first time that they're probably reaching anybody.
And for me personally, and not even talking as a home brewer, but putting in this an event, I would rather go what people like and what people actually care about versus some type of guidelines, which I know the guidelines are strict and they create consistency and they get people to achieve higher brewing success with the brewing science and stuff like that to meet spec. However, at the end of the day, people's taste buds are going to be the judge of
right.
No matter what you brew, no matter how many certifications you get or how many, you know. So definitely people's choice for me is like where it's at, because if the people like it, guess what? The people
right. are going to like exactly. it. Exactly. So. And that's really all we are. Yeah. You know, again, we're not sanctioned, but it's just a people's vote. And
guess what? The people are right. the backbone of everything.
The man. People are going to be your future customers.
Exactly. And for me, just to piggyback off of this whole thing, for me, I think that feedback, being experimental, validation, and moving out of your comfort zone was huge for me. And that's like the four things that I got away from entering these competitions through you, you know. And I think that any homebrewer out there that's been homebrewing and hasn't entered a competition, it's just great to try it. And like I said, for me, the feedback was just perfect. Like, it told me like what I needed to do. Our first competition here, we realized our hazy life needed to be a little bit more hazy and we needed more yield. And talking to Adam from here, we also talked to Mike from Gulfstream and a couple other people, and they told us how we can get a little better yield because it's hazy. You have to realize how much it's going to suck up the water. So
right.
we were able to tail that in for the next competition, have enough to support the whole competition and make it a little bit better. It was a little bit higher ABV. And but yeah, through that, we got good feedback, and then we were able to perform better the next one around. So.
And that's great too, because probably your friends, your mom, they're gonna say this is great, this is the best.
Anything free is always great.
of course. But yeah, I mean, you're right. When you're entering it in a competition or a craft carousel event, you're gonna get that real feedback. And the negative feedback is helpful feedback sure. as well.
And especially those untapped,
yes,
unsolicited. I was like, we were Googling the craft life, and we realized we were untapped. And I was like, how are we on untapped? Like, I didn't do that. And I realized people can do it, because I never even went on untapped before actually the carousel. Right. So, and I was like, oh, I got all these threes. Why did they get all these threes?
Oh, because I was going to say, I wonder if I'm guilty of putting it, but I would never give you a three.
I think you were one of those guys. But
no, get out of here.
Yeah, man, but it's all good though.
Yeah, because I remember rating your stout. You guys even had a bottled stout at the last carousel, so I remember rating that one.
Yeah, man,
definitely not a three. You need to try that one. If you're lucky, you need to get your hands on that one.
Yeah, come out to the next. I guess the next one is going to be at down for Lauderdale.
Well, I think you're doing one at Lauderdale, right? Lauderdale. There we go. They have their annual homebrew and Craft Life will be out there.
For sure.
Estival Hops will be there. We're not going to be have a tent or anything, but we're going to be drinking your beer. We're going to be giving you feedback.
Oh, for sure.
We're going to give you 3-star reviews.
Hey, you know what? A 3-star is actually perfect for me being a homebrewer. So brewing on my stove, I'll take the 3-star. So as we're wrapping this up, man, we're going to talk about events that you have planned. You're thinking about having planned besides what's happening on the 13th with you guys have to wait another like 5 more minutes before we talk about that. But what's in the horizon for SFL Hops?
Well, not much because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. You know, as been discussed, we have been at this for 6 years. Mm-hmm. And 2019, we finally had this down as a well-oiled machine and to where we had some great consistency with where we were and where we wanted to go. And that basically meant that we were doing 8 monthly brewery crawls and then those 4 monthly craft carousels. So that would basically give us an event every month for the entire year. And of course we'll do smaller ones, but that was our backbone. And everything was going great. We had the carousels of 2019 went great, and then in 2020 we had 2 terrific brewery crawls. They both had over 100 people.
Wow.
February was our last February 2020 was our last one, downtown Hollywood. And then that was it. We had to cancel all of our other crawls of 2020. And of the 4 carousels, we canceled the first 2 and we really revamped the last 2 to make it happen. And then again, no more crawls at the end of 2020. And here we are again and none again. And I don't know if we're ready. Are you guys ready? I don't know.
I'm ready. So,
if I could push you,
please do another one.
So. And ready is one thing, but you know, we also were doing these at venues, and we need to do right by them as well, and they need to feel comfortable. And you know, in a crawl, one brewery could be enormous, and the next one could be tiny, and so you basically can only bring as many as that common denominator is.
Yeah, for sure.
For those. So currently we have this next event coming, which is at Tarpon River.
Yep.
And then from there, we're going to try to get back on track with brewery crawls again.
So stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned.
Yes, sir.
Make sure you're following SFL Hops on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay.
Shameless plugs there.
I got you at the end anyway. So.
Oh, super.
You get two of them today, I guess.
But as far as the craft carousels, it's definitely something we're going to continue. I just don't know when. I don't know if it's going to happen in 2021. Or we'll just wait till the following year. I just don't know yet.
So if everyone is listening right now, you got to voice your opinion on his page. Go on his page and tell him you want more. And yeah, that's what it takes.
Actually, that would be great. I mean, it would be nice to hear. Speaking of feedback.
For sure. Absolutely. So let's run into what's happening here at Tarpon River, March 13th.
Oh, is something happening here?
Something's happening here, man.
I haven't heard anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, it was featured on Deco Drive. So it's definitely a successful event.
Yes.
So go ahead and tell us everything about it.
So, so on March 13th here at Tarpon River Brewery, we're going to be doing a Girl Scout cookie and beer pairing. And basically the way it's going to work is everyone's going to get four different types of Girl Scout cookies. You'll get two of each cookie. So of course, a total of eight. And those will be paired with four beers from Tarpon River. Are we 4 ounce or 5 ounce here?
I think 4 ounces.
So you'll get four 4 ounce beers paired with these cookies, and the beers are specifically chosen to pair with the cookies. We'll have a YouTube video coming out to the people that are attending the event, and they'll be able to hear the original godfather of South Florida craft brewing, Adam Fine, who will be talking about the beers to you and talking about the pairings that we're doing that day. And if you're wondering why we're doing the YouTube, so when we did this event for the first time last year, we had it at very specific times and we would have someone talk to the guests at the same time. But with this being the pandemic, I feel like every time I say pandemic, we should like take a drink or something. Right. I feel like I'm taking it.
Take one right now.
There we go.
So everyone listening, we're taking one. Hey, cheers.
Pandemic. So, So as much as we liked that format, we wanted to keep things safe. So we're basically doing the event as an open event from 2 to 6 p.m. so that people can come at any time that they want to. And we're hoping that will help spread everybody out so that not everybody's there at the same time.
Yeah.
So that's why we're doing that. And since everyone's going to be coming at different times, that's why we're going to provide the YouTube link so people can access it. And they can still feel like they're being guided on the pairing.
Plus, there'll be staff here, and everyone will be able to tell you what beers
yes.
and how they are. Just real quick, the beers that are going to be served are going to be the Rusty Blonde. We're going to have the King Tide Doppelbock. We also have the Morning Express Nitro. And my favorite, the Secret Woods Imperial Porter.
And to make that even better, it's paired with the s'mores cookies. So you can't go wrong with that.
That's going to be definitely taste really good.
We'll also be giving everybody who attends a placemat. And on the placemat, it will show the pairings of which beer is recommended with which cookie. We'll also have the Girl Scouts at that day. So you're welcome to buy more boxes and do additional pairings and purchase more beers from the bar and more cookies. And
how did the idea even come up with Girl Scout cookies?
It's
a great idea, by the way.
I love doing pairing events. And I think I was saying before that one of the first events I was doing 6 years ago was the bottle shares. And from there, one of the first ticketed events I ever did was pairing events.
Okay.
And Concrete Beach, we're sad to see them close because that was our go-to pairing spot. But we used to do a lot of pairing events. We started cheese and beer. And then other people started doing cheese and beer. So we started doing other things. We did an ice cream and beer pairing.
That sounds awesome.
It was. And it was a lot of work, you know, trying to taste all these ice creams and all these beers to figure out which pairs with which. I mean, I really had to sacrifice and eat a lot of ice cream to do that. And then we also did a smoked meats and beer pairing, which was great. So
everybody who's listening, man, smoked meats and beer pairing needs to happen. And I want to see that happen soon. So hopefully people can voice their voice their opinion. What I'm going to voice mine actually right now. I'm going to write it on this page.
All right. So when we talk about upcoming events, maybe that's an upcoming event. 2021, we got you.
For sure. Man, thanks so much for chatting with us.
Telling us
about everything that happened. You know, I didn't know as much in depth. You've been doing this for 6 years, didn't know that. So thanks for telling everybody how you start these events. For anybody who is wanting to start events, even if it's not inside the beer world, if it's outside of here, you realize community comes first. Creating that organic community that actually wants and desires your content or wants and desire to hang out with you for the value that they get. That's super amazing. And Stu, thank you very much for telling us about that, all that. And if you want to learn more about SO Hops and their future events, you can do so by commenting on every comment and let them know. Or you can just follow them on Facebook and Instagram to find out their new events. And that's at SFL Hops with an S. Is there any other place?
Well, our original meetup, we still have SFL Hops is on meetup.com as well.
Okay, cool.
Depending on where you live, it might come up or not come up. So you can always do a Google search of meetup.com and then SFL Hops. Maybe it will come up that way. But if people are looking to come to our events, I would say that the meetup page and the Facebook page are the best as far as seeing events.
Then when this episode is going to be released, you still have a little bit of time to pick up your event for the cookies, Girl Scout cookies and beer pairing event here at Tarpon River. And all right, folks, that's it for episode 14. To the Craft Life community, keep supporting your local craft breweries. Peace and love. We out.